Okay, so brother, come on up and share with us what the Lord's put on your heart.
Amen.
The Lord may come today. Amen.
Amen.
You're going to have to excuse my shoes today. I didn't have access to my other shoes. All right, good morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Figure out these notes here. Alright, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 20, verse 11. Proverbs 20, 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The title of the message is, What Can I Do? The message is going to be kind of towards the children. Sorry, older people, if you get bored. But the message is, what can I do? What can you do? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to share from your word, Lord. I'm not worthy, but I pray you would touch my lips and help me to say what you'd have me say. Thank you for each one that's here this morning. I pray you bless them for it. I pray you give us a good day in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
What can I do? Well, first off, God can use you and your age. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4:12, talking about what can younger people do to serve the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. God can use you when you're young. So we're going to be looking at that, how you can do that today. Obviously, if you're older, keep serving God. But we're going to look at ways to serve God. Point number two, what's the first thing you have to do to be able to serve God? You must first be saved. Yeah, you first must be saved. You can't do anything for God properly if you're not saved yet. If you're asking, what can I do to serve God, but you're not saved yet, the obvious answer is to believe on Jesus and get saved. Be born again. Let's have a sword drill. Bible's up. Romans 3:10 and verse 23 as well. Go. We've got to try and find it before I do. Romans 3:10. And verse... As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, kids, we've all sinned. Let's see, somebody look up, Bible's up again. Romans 6:23. Go. I could have kept my finger in Romans. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we've all sinned. We saw that in the last two verses. And the price for our sin is death. But praise God, He gave us His Son, and we can have eternal life. Let's go to Romans, see what is it? No, John 3:16. We're going to have all the kids say this together. Everybody 20 and under, youth, young adults. Even you who can't read should know this verse, John 3:16. I'm going to read it just because I'm going to mess it up. All right, ready? Let's all say it together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. God so loved the world. He gave us His Son that we, and He would die on the cross That way we could have eternal life and live in heaven and not go to hell. And then now we're going to Romans 10. Back to Romans. Romans 10, 9 through 13. 9 through 13. This shows us how we get saved. Romans 10, 9 through 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You must confess, that's verse 9, confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus. And you have to repent and turn away from your sins. And once you're saved, you are saved forever. Romans 8, just a page or two back. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, what that's saying, kids, is once you believe on Jesus, once you're born again, nobody can take that away from you. Amen. All right, point number 3. After you're saved, what can you do? Well, you need to start growing spiritually and growing in character. Let's look at 2 Peter 3:18. Hebrews, James, versus 2 Peter. Second Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace. So we are to be growing spiritually, growing in grace. Obviously we can't begin to exhaust this subject. This is a long subject of growing. We're going to look at a few things. First thing, God's word. We need it. We must have it in order to grow. 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter now. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So we must have the word of God in order to grow. There's no getting away around that fact. We need it like babies need milk. Every day, baby doesn't go a day without getting milk. If it does, it's not happy. You must carve out time to read the Bible and study the Bible. And number 2, for growing spiritually, next thing is prayer. Prayer. Got a verse for this. Ephesians 6:18. I think we're going through a lot of passages, so hopefully your fingers like turning pages. Okay. 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always. Different verse in Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. So, even if you're young, you can still pray. You can talk to Jesus. It's how we ask him for things and just talk to him. See. Jesus taught us to pray. Let's go to Luke 18. Luke 18, first verse. Just the first verse. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So, praying is how we gain strength instead of fainting, we pray to gain strength. Number three on growing spiritually, going to church. Church is where you get preached at by the pastor. Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What day is that? That's Christ coming. He's coming, and we need to be exhorting each other and coming together so much the more. So, you learn at home, but you need to go to church as well, and most of your parents take you to church. That's good. It's a good place to get conviction from sin. Powerful preaching from the Word of God. And number four, the growing in character. There's a lot of character qualities that we need to be working on. I have a list here, lots of them. We're not going to go through them all. That would take a few days. But growing characters such as obedience. What else do we got here? Self-control, joyfulness. Let's see, patience, loyalty, meekness. Justice, there's a whole lot to be working on just your character alone. So we need to be reading our Bible, praying, going to church, and growing in character. Those are just some of the basics of growing spiritually. And that brings us to point number four. Develop and use your spiritual gift. God gave each person, let's go to 1 Timothy 4:14. God gave each person a spiritual gift when they got saved. Even if you're only 4 or 5 or 6, you have a spiritual gift. Did you know that? See. 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. So that first phrase there, neglect not the gift that is in thee. There is a gift in you. Spiritual gift. See. Got a lot of verses here. 2 Timothy 1:6, really quick. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So we're to be using the spiritual gift. If you don't know what it is, then you need to be trying to figure out what it is. Ask others. Let's see, what is your spiritual gift? It's not necessarily what you do when you're serving God, but it's why you do it. A pastor had a good series a few weeks, months ago, on spiritual gifts. There's like 7 of them. And they're found in 1 Corinthians 12. We're not going to go into all that, but because he already did a great job on that, so I need to preach it again. If you don't know what it is, serve God until you find out, and then keep on serving. Point number 5. Let's have our sword drill. Ephesians 5:16, go. Find it before I do. I'm still not going to read it, but it'd be good to find it before I do. Redeeming the times, the days are evil. Next point, prepare for the future. Let's go to Proverbs, another sword drill, Proverbs 20, verse 4. Proverbs 24, go. Redeeming the time. It's the wrong way. This man here, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. He did not prepare for the future. The Bible says to redeem the time. So, how do we prepare for the future? Number one, prepare to serve God. The more you read and study the Bible and pray while you are younger, the better you'll be able to serve God when you are older. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Oh, I'm going to say it wrong. Let me look it up. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the more you're studying, the better when you're older you can be a workman or a lady that needeth not to be ashamed. Number two, God could call you to have a family someday, so prepare to have a family. God could very well want you to do that. Girls need to learn how to be keepers at home, even when they're at a young age. Six, learn how to start taking care of the home. And boys, learn to be a spiritual leader, because when you're a father, his role is to be the spiritual leader in the home and save money. Stuff is expensive, especially a house. Let's see. Preparing for the future. This might be a hard one. Do your school. Oh boy. 1 Timothy 4:13. Doing school. Till I come, give attendance to reading. Learn to read is very important. And learning maybe another language or music, musical instrument. There's lots of things you can do in school, not in school, to prepare for the future to be able to better serve God. I mean, language is something I wish I had done more when I was younger. But I still might do that. These things will be useful if the Lord tarries. Just because Jesus could come back at any time, return of the Lord is imminent. Just because he could be come back at any time does not mean we would do nothing. We are to tarry till he come. Tarry means keep busy till he comes. Let's see, what can I do? Point six. What can I do, kids? What can you do? 1 Timothy. Well, we're in Timothy's lot. 1 Timothy 5:4. Let's see. Oh, okay, this point is help at home no matter what your age is. This verse here is talking about older children taking care of their elderly parents, widows. But the lesson's still there. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. What does piety mean? Piety just, I looked it up in the encyclopedia, means godliness and obedience. First show piety at home. So you first got to serve God at home when you're young. How can you help at home? Well, one really helpful thing is obedience. Doing what you're told the first time, right away, without complaining, and with a good attitude. Wow, that's hard. Maybe I should say that again. Do what you are told the first time, right away, without complaining, and with a good attitude. One of the biggest ways you can help at home is by being obedient. And your parents know that. Ephesians 6:1. Anybody can say this verse? I know Judah knows this verse. He should know this verse. I'm going to look it up. Ephesians 6:1. It's not the way to Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents. See verse 2 and 3. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Obey your parents, you have a better chance of living longer. It's a promise right there. See, another way to help at home is Ephesians 4:32. Another verse we should all know. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be kind to your siblings. If you're unkind, then you cause strife, and that is not helpful at all. It also says there to be forgiving. So when somebody does you wrong, somebody hits you, forgive them. You be kind. that's one way you can help at home, is just having peace in the home, being nice. And number three, look for ways to help. Do your chores, or even other chores that aren't yours, without being told. Helping at home may seem like a small thing, but let's go to Luke 16:10. Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Even if it is small things. Being faithful in the small things. The laundry, doing dishes, cleaning your room, keeping it clean. Being faithful in the small things will help you do bigger things for God in the future when you're older. Little is much when God is in it. I like that song. And number seven, serve in the church. If you are saved, then you are to be a helpful member of the church body. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. 12 to 31. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So if you are saved, then you are part of the body of Christ, and you are to be a helpful, functioning member of the church. Even if you're young. But how do I, being only 6 or 7, 10 or 11, 16, 17, do anything in the church that's helpful? Don't all the grown-up people do the useful things? Well, I've got a list of ideas. First one is just be good in church, pay attention, don't run in the church. It's God's building. That's not really something you do to serve, it's just something you do to do right. Pay attention to services. Sing in the service to edify others. Maybe sing a song special. Learn an instrument. Maybe play it for specials or during the service. You can cook. You can help cook food to bring to the fellowship time afterwards. We all take food for granted, and a lot of people know how to cook. But even when you're young, you need to learn how to cook. That's helpful in the future. Where was I? Here we are. You can help with the cleaning of the two buildings. The church building needs to be vacuumed. You can help sweep, wipe off tables. And you can pray for the church. Even if you're only 4 or 5, still praying for the church. That's very important. The church needs more prayer than you realize. And God hears the prayers of a little child. Participate in events, that's like, let's see, when there's a conference, or when we're like doing the 4th of July parade, people helping out with that. Even little kids can help with that. Younger people. You can help take care of the church property, cleaning it and keeping it clean, not throwing garbage out there. Keeping the property clean, this is God's property. Remember that Christ was a servant, and so we should be willing to serve. We've got two more points here to go through quickly, and they're really just more ways to serve in the church. Point number 8. Let's go to Romans 12, 13 through 21. Romans 12, 13 through 21. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, recompense no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, the point here, not all these verses go with the point, but the first verse, give in to hospitality. The point is being friendly, especially at church. Hebrews 13:2. You'll see why we have that verse written down. Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Entertain strangers. The simplest form, Pastor already preached a lot on this, but the simplest form of friendliness is to smile. Let's see here. My lack of smiling and my lack of being friendly could cause a visitor to not come back. What if that person had gotten saved the next time he came back? That person, if he never trusts Jesus, will burn in hell forever. Oh my. It's more impressive for a 10-year-old to shake a visitor's hand than for a grown person to. It can impress a visitor. And a child's friendliness can often, not always, but often have more impact on a person. So we need to be friendly. It's another way to serve in the church. Is to make sure that the church has a good reputation and a good name. We want to be a friendly church. And point number 9, last point this morning, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. What's one more thing that I can do, that you can do, even when you're young? What's the verse? 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that ye may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This little light of mine, that's what this is talking about. I'm going to let it shine. It's a song we sometimes sing. Even when you're young, 6, 7, 12, teenager, if you're saved and you have the light of God in you. See, I have a kind of a silly thing, but I have a flashlight here. We're going to say we are the flashlight. And before we're saved, we don't have any light within us. There's just, it's not profitable, darkness. When we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit. That's what the batteries picture. And we are to let, there we are, our light shine. But when we're not doing right, when we're not passing out tracts, when we're not witnessing, we're sinning, our light isn't shining. We're still saved because battery's still in there, Holy Spirit's still in us, but we're not shining. We need to shine. Not in our eyes, though. I'll fix that later. Let's see, Matthew 28. 28. 18 to 20. Who knows what this passage is about without looking? Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So Jesus has all power, and he gives us power to go out into the earth. Go ye therefore, everybody who's 30 and up. No, it doesn't say that. Go ye therefore, everybody who's 20 and older. Go ye therefore, and it doesn't give an age limit. So even a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old can go therefore. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. The first thing we need to teach that he commanded us is, you must be born again. still pass out tracts, participate in the mail out, witness as you get older and you understand how to do that. Serious business. People are dying and going to hell. Revelation 21:8. Well, that's like all the way at the back of the Bible, isn't it? Revelation 21. But the fearful, 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. People are dying going to hell and will be cast in the lake of fire. Forever and ever and ever. Giving tracts and witnessing is not just a good idea. It's not just something we do to make us feel good. God commands us to do it. And to finish up, Ezekiel 3:17-21. Serious business, but it's a business that even children can do. It's an area that I need to work on. Ezekiel 3:17-21. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. Delivered thy soul. We are watchmen to our area, Clatskanie, Rainier, Longview, Kelso, America. We are to be watchmen. And it's what God commands us to do. This command isn't just for Ezekiel. Command is for all of us. Amen. Thank you.